I didn't get you something extra.
The innocent look on his face is telling me he's probably lying, but I'm too tired to argue with him. Are you wanting to go somewhere else? I ask once we exit the store.
No, I'd rather go back to the hotel.
He winces as if he's prepared for me to lose my shit on him. This man is so incredibly generous with both his time and money, and he thinks I'm going to kick my feet and demand to shop more? Makes me wonder about the women he's dated in his past.
I hope you're okay with that.
I'm tired and I'm starving, so as long as I can get something to eat, I'll be fine. I hold up my bags. Thank you. It means a lot that you bought all of this for me. You didn't have to.
That's why I wanted to, because you kept telling me you didn't want any of it. Enjoy it. That's what I plan on doing.
I don't ask him what he means by that particular statement as we head back to the hotel, which is a short walk. Alex takes one of the bags for me, telling me to hold on to the handle tightly because thieves are known to pluck shopping bags from high-end stores right from people's fingers. His warning makes me cautious as I grip the handle extra tight, my attention on high alert as I scan the street, the people walking past, the cars driving by slowly. It's enough to give a person full-blown paranoia if you're not careful. By the time we're back in the lobby of the Ritz, I'm even more tired and hungrier. We take the tiny elevator to our floor, the hallway leading to our room seeming extra long, and by the time Alex is finally opening the door, I'm pushing past him into the suite, dumping my bag on a nearby chair as I make my way to the bedroom, throwing myself onto the bed. I'm so exhausted, I say into the pillow, wrapping my arms around it and snuggling in. This mattress is like a cloud, I swear.
Take a nap,
Alex calls from the sitting room. I can hear the rustle of the bags as he sets the one he carried next to mine on the chair. I should probably go out there and look through my recent purchases, but the thought of getting off this bed is unappealing, so I remain where I'm at. But I'm hungry, too.
I'll call room service.
You will? I sound so hopeful. It's nice not having to do everything on your own all the time. I mean, I have friends, and we take care of each other so much. I guess I really mean it's nice to have a man take care of you, to pamper you, make sure you're fed and well-rested, and yeah, go ahead and get that fancy Chanel bag if you want it, babe. It's yours. Not that I need a man to make my designer purchases or to live a fulfilling life, for that matter. To be spoiled like this is something I've never really experienced before. Private jets to Paris, staying at a fancy suite at the Ritz, a shopping spree at Chanel. This is all a total fantasy for me. One I'm afraid I won't want to wake up from, even though I'll have to.
What do you want to eat?
Alex enters the bedroom, the room service menu clutched in one hand. I don't know. I say sleepily, closing my eyes. My stomach growls, and I hope he didn't hear it. Pick something out for me.
Like what?
He sounds amused, which is better than irritated, so phew. I don't know. I'm not that picky. Choose whatever you want. I'll eat it. It seems like my voice is fading away, like I'm getting farther and farther away from Alex. And that makes no sense. But the way I'm feeling right now is something I don't think I've ever experienced before. It's like I'm present, yet I'm not. A few minutes pass, or maybe it was only a few seconds, but the next thing I know, someone is telling me to move over a little, and then he's pulling the covers over me. It's Alex. I can tell it's him because I can smell his cologne, and I reach for him, eyes still closed, head fuzzy like a cloud. My fingers locking around his wrist. He must have shed the jacket and rolled up his shirt sleeves as I'm touching his skin. He's warm and the underside of his wrist is smooth, though I can feel the hairs on his forearm. Thank you, I whisper, pressing my fingers into his skin. For everything. He says nothing at first, and I wonder if I surprised him by touching him. I wonder what he's thinking. I'd like to get inside his head and try and figure him out, but then again, That would take away the mystery that is Alexander Wilder, and I don't want to do that. Not yet.
You're welcome,
he finally says, after I've already released my hold on him, and the blankets are covering me. I nestle my head into the soft pillow, and I swear I feel his fingers in my hair. His touch gentle, like it never happened at all. I wake up 2 hours later to discover Alex fell asleep too, or so he told me. He woke up before me too and has already called room service.
I called the order in about 20 minutes ago. They should be here any moment.
He tells me after I ask what happened. He's in the sitting room, working on his laptop when I shuffle in. I fell asleep in my clothes and my hair is all mussed up from the pillow. I'm guessing my mascara is smeared, and there are probably wrinkles in my cheek from the pillowcase. Embroidered with my initials, don't forget. So I must look an absolute wreck. Oh well, he's gonna fake marry this someday, so he better get used to it. Good. I flop into one of the velvet chairs, wishing it were softer. I should have flopped onto the couch where Alex is sitting. It's definitely softer, more floppable. I'm still starving. I wonder what he's ordered for me, though I really don't care. I'm that hungry.
Do you feel better now that you've slept a little bit?
He keeps his eyes glued to the laptop screen, his fingers resting against the keyboard. Somewhat. I watch him as he reads something, trying to remember where my phone is. I mean, I know it's somewhere. But here we are in Paris. And yes, we're jet-lagged and we need naps and stuff, but damn it. He should be outside on the balcony watching the traffic and staring at the gorgeous Vendôme column while he works. That thing is iconic, yet we're holed up in the suite. At least I have an excuse. I just woke up. Plus, it's the most gorgeous suite on the planet, so there's that. Are you working? I ask. He doesn't bother looking up from the screen.
Yes.
How long did you sleep?
Not very long.
From the looks of him, I don't think he slept at all. What time is dinner tonight?
We're meeting at Le Grand Cobert at 8.
Thank God we're getting room service to hold me over until then. Have you ever been there?
No, but I hear the food is good.
His phone rings and he glances at the screen, grimacing when he sees who the caller is.
I have to take this.
He rises to his feet, answering the call as he strides out onto the terrace, pulling the glass doors shut behind him. With a sigh, I go to the bedroom, remembering that my phone is in the bag. I grab it, then settle in on the couch, checking my emails and answering a couple of work ones from Iris before I start idly scrolling through social media. I see photos of my friends out and about, and my heart pangs with missing them. Sarah even shares an old photo with an arrow above my head and the caption, "Missing this one like crazy." And seeing that one makes me even sadder. Here I am in one of the most Instagrammed cities of the world, and I haven't taken very many photos yet. I had the perfect opportunity, too, while hanging out at Chanel. I decide to take my Chanel shopping bags and set them on top of the intricate coffee table, shifting them this way and that until I think they're at the perfect angle. I take a few shots, then upload them to my Instagram story, but I make sure only my friends can see it. I don't want to look like I'm bragging. I caption the first photo with, "Look where I went!" And the second photo with, "OMG, he bought me so much!" I add a bunch of cute Parisian-themed gifts because Instagram has such great ones, and wait for their responses. It's past 5 here, which means it's past 8 in the morning back at home, and I'm sure a few of them are just waking up. Stella's already up and at it since she works the obscenely early shift. There's a knock at the door, and I hear a faint voice call,
"Room service."
So I rush to answer it, trying to hold the door open for the employee rolling the table in, but I just get in the way, so I move as fast as I can to the balcony to tell Alex our food is here. He should probably be the one to sign for it, right? As I open the doors, I can hear Alex talking, clear as day.
I told you I'll do whatever it takes to convince them we're the right company to own their hotel. I don't know how many times I have to say that.
Pausing, I wait, not wanting to interrupt him, but not wanting to eavesdrop either.
Louise, the one you want me to impress? Great, he hates us,
Alex says, sounding grumpy. Hearing him say that makes me grumpy too, because I know it's true. Well, Louis doesn't hate us, but I'm sure he thinks we're beneath him. Correction, he thinks I'm beneath him, the jerk.
I took her to Chanel and bought her a few things so she'd fit in with tonight's crowd.
He pauses, and the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. He's talking about me when I shouldn't be listening in on this conversation. I glance over my shoulder to see the man setting up our table, and he looks up, our gazes meeting. Let me get him inside, I whisper to the employee before I step fully out onto the balcony, ready to tell Alex what's going on.
She's got this, I promise. I have all the faith in the world in her.
Those words make my heart swell, and at that very moment, Alex turns so that he's facing me. His eyes grow wide when he spots me, and he mumbles into his phone.
I have to go.
And ends the call before the other person can say a word. I assume that other person is his father. Room service is here, I tell him, trying to sound easy breezy, like I didn't hear a word he said while on the phone.
Great.
He smiles, but it's grim.
I'm hungry.
I think he wants you to sign for it.
You can sign for anything you want here. Just charge it to the room.
He moves past me, entering the suite, and I follow after him, watching as he's perfectly charming to the hotel employee, nodding with approval as the man shows him our food beneath the silver domes. All I can think about is how he has all the faith in me in the world. I know he's under enormous amounts of pressure while on this trip. And the fact that he needs me, that he believes in me, also feels like major pressure. Like I have to perform tonight. Be on my A game, whatever that means. Whatever. I'll be fine. I got this. 28. The restaurant is beautiful, with soaring high ceilings, unusual light fixtures, and lots of greenery. Giant urns overflow with gorgeous blooming flowers, and there are potted palms everywhere. The walls are mirrored, and the servers are wearing suits, and everyone just looks so stylish. I try my best to play it cool because this is the wrong night for me to act like a starry-eyed tourist. Instead, I teeter on my Dior slingback stilettos, praying I won't fall on my face. I forgot how thin the heel is on these shoes, and that's why I don't wear them very often. Whoops. My dress is black and form-fitting, extremely simple in design, but that's the whole point. When you keep fashion choices simple, no one believes you're wearing something cheap. And let me tell you, this dress was super cheap. I'm wearing the necklace Alex bought me. And when I went through the items in the bags as I was getting ready earlier, I discovered he also purchased a pair of earrings and a ring that matches the necklace. I am completely blinged out in Chanel jewelry, as well as carrying my Chanel bag. I'm worried the jewelry being silver and the bag's hardware being gold might be a fashion faux pas. Alex reassured me it would be fine, but I don't know. He's a guy, and this Manon chick could call me out for something like that. See? This is what my world has come to. Worrying about gold versus silver hardware while wearing expensive as hell Chanel in Paris on a Thursday night. People are everywhere, crowding the small waiting space at the front of the restaurant, every table seemingly full. Even the bar is mobbed. I stand as close to Alex as possible, trying to make myself small in the growing crowd, yet also watching out for my new bag because, hello, it's Chanel. He slips his arm around my waist, pulling me in even closer, and my entire body erupts into tingles at making contact with him.
I don't think they're here yet,
he says, lifting his head so he can see above the crowd. And he really can see above the crowd. He's that tall. I am definitely not, so he towers over me. Even with my heels on next to him, I still feel like a shrimp. Ugh. I am being such a damsel in distress right now. Is it wrong that I kind of like it? Probably. Shall we ask the host? I nod toward the important-looking older gentleman heading our way, but before we can say a word, I hear Alex's name called over the din. We both turn to find the Duchos have just entered the restaurant, Alain raising his hand at us in greeting. The host spots Alain and nods in approval, telling me that the Deschaux must eat here a lot. Or they're just that well known around Paris. The slender woman by Alain's side is striking. Her hair is cut into a chic silver bob, her eyes heavily lined, her mascara thick, but not in a bad way. She's wearing a silver sequined wrap over a black dress, and I can't spot any jewelry besides the simple gold band on her left ring finger.
Alix, Caroline, let me introduce you to my wife, Sabine,
Alain says. Hello. I reach out to shake her soft, powdery hand. Sabine smiles. A pleasure to meet you, she says before she shakes Alix's hand as well. I've heard so much about both of you. Alain was very excited for me to meet you this evening. Her English is good. I can barely detect a French accent.
Louis and his wife should be here soon. They're running late.
Alain actually rolls his eyes.
Manon is always late. She enjoys making a grand entrance.
Nerves make my knees wobbly. For some reason, I'm terrified to meet this woman, and I don't know why. The host leads us to our table, which is tucked away in the corner next to the giant window facing the front of the restaurant. It's a little quieter here, and it's also very dark. I'm thankful I don't have to wear glasses because I wouldn't be able to see the menu for crap. We're making small talk, and the server has approached our table to ask what we want to drink when there's a commotion by the entrance. And then, I swear to God, camera flashes go off, like the paparazzi is here. I'm twisted in my seat, waiting for the appearance, knowing full well who's just entered the restaurant. Alain isn't fazed whatsoever. He orders a bottle of wine for the table, plus a bottle each of still and sparkling water, and the server scurries away just as Louis and Manon come into full view. He's dressed in all black, and so is Manon. I sense a theme here, with the exception of the Chanel pink and white tweed jacket she's wearing over her shoulders. She strides toward our table with her head held high and her gaze fixed above everyone, her white blonde hair looking as if she put her finger into a light socket and got an electrical charge, giving her an amplified sort of wave. There's a rhinestone belt slung low across her waist, and it spells out C-H-A-N-E-L in big, glittery letters.
Bonsoir,
she says. Her voice high, her bright pink lips stretched into a smug smile.
So sorry we're late.
She doesn't sound the least bit sorry. Louis stops just beside her, his expression bored as usual.
Hello,
he says, though he's looking at none of us. He pulls out a chair on the other side of Alix and Manon sits down. Louis sits on the other side of her. I'm seated next to Sabine, who's very polite and very quiet. We all scan our menus, my food choice made quickly. A movie I've watched before filmed here, and the main character mentioned their roast chicken as being the best in the world, so I have to try it. Once the server takes our order, Alain and Alix start talking business, and I start to tune them out. Louis and Manon appear as if they are quietly arguing in French, their harsh murmurs downright fierce. I glance over at Sabine, who is buttering a piece of bread. Rather elegantly, I might add, which sounds impossible, but I'm serious. Discreetly as possible, I grab my bag and peek inside so I can check my phone. I have a bunch of Instagram direct messages from my friends who are all exclaiming over my Chanel riches. Smiling, I quickly respond to each message, grateful my friends can give me shit yet be happy for me all at the same time. How long have you and Alix known each other? Sabine asks once I've put my phone away. Oh, I exhale loudly, probably looking like an idiot, but I'm momentarily scrambling for the answer we came up with. We've been together only a few months, but we knew each other when we were younger.
Really?
She raises her thin eyebrows. Were you friends in school? He's a couple of years older than me, and he was my brother's best friend when they were 13, 14. I hesitate for a moment, then decide to go for it. May I tell you a secret? Sabine leans in, her eyes sparkling with curiosity.
Please do.
Alix was actually my first kiss, I confess. And I was his.
Oh,
That's so romantic.
Sabine rests her hand against her chest. Were you a little couple, boyfriend and girlfriend? I like how she calls us a little couple. So quaint. No, unfortunately not. We only kissed once and then I never saw him again.
That's so terrible.
Again, with the hand on her chest, I'm digging her dramatic flair.
What happened?
He switched schools and we never talked or kissed again, I say with a little shrug. It doesn't feel so bad telling her this, because it's true. The dating for the last few months and now we're engaged part? That's harder, because it's a lie.
And now, after all these years, you've reconnected. That's so lovely.
She smiles, her gaze going to Alex. He's quite handsome. I glance over at him as well. He's still chatting with Alain. He is. I agree.
You are a beautiful couple. You will make pretty children, she continues.
My cheeks go warm and Sabine laughs. I'm sure my expression is pure mortification. We haven't kissed since we were kids, and now she's talking about us having babies. Of course, we're supposed to be trying to make babies on a daily basis. Considering we're in Paris, one of the most romantic cities in the world, we should be on a baby-making mission.
Well, not literally baby-making. More like baby-making practice.
In my dreams. I embarrassed you, Sabine says, her voice as gentle as her smile. My apologies. I didn't mean to.
No, it's fine.
I wave a hand. She's being sincere, and I appreciate that. I embarrass easy.
I'm sure your Alex enjoys that.
Sabine waggles her brows, making me laugh in surprise. Without thought, I reach out, resting my hand on Alex's rock-hard thigh, like I have every right to do that. Tonight, I suppose I do. He practically jumps when I touch him, and I'm sure I startled him. We may be playing at being a couple, but the need for us to be overly demonstrative hasn't arisen yet. May as well kick it into high gear tonight. His stormy blue eyes meet mine, and as casually as possible, he reaches down, grabbing my hand so he can bring it to his mouth and press a gentle, lingering kiss on my knuckles. My entire body goes hot, and I feel that simple kiss all the way to my toes. We stare at each other, and I huff out a shaky breath when he slowly settles our still-linked hands on his thigh. Alain asks Sabine a question, and all four of the Deschaux start talking in French, which allows Alex and I a little privacy.
What was that for?
He asks, his voice low. I slide my fingers against his, marveling at how large his hand is. Sabine and I were talking about you. He raises one brow, that super sexy power move he's got that I'm all about.
All good things, I hope.
Oh, definitely. I nod, unable to contain the smile that stretches across my face. I think she might have a little crush on you.
Really?
He seems pleased with this information.
You two seem to be hitting it off, then.
She's very nice. I slide my fingers out of his grasp, rubbing my hand across the top of his. I like being able to freely touch him. No one is paying attention to us. I can pretend that Tiffany never existed, that they never walked into Noteworthy, and Alex is really all mine. Just for tonight, I can do that. For this entire trip, I can claim Alex Wilder as mine. Alex shifts even closer to me, the heady scent of his cologne making my head spin, and in a deliciously possessive move, he rests his arm on the back of my chair, his fingers trailing along the outside of my arm for the briefest moment, goosebumps rising where he touches me.
I think I've convinced Alain he should go with Wilder Corporation after all.
He whispers into my ear. Joy fills me, and it's all for him. Oh, Alex, that's wonderful. I tilt my head back so I can smile up at him, and I can see it written all over his face. Relief. Happiness. Oh, wait a minute. Is that lust in his eyes? Interesting. Does this mean he likes me? Or am I being ridiculous? Maybe I'm just confusing his emotions for something else. Or maybe I'm not. But I can't focus on that right now. He's still looking at me, waiting for me to say something, so I do. What did you say to convince him?
Apparently everything he needed to hear. I couldn't tell you exactly what I said that pushed him over the edge, but he just told me he's ready to resume the deal and complete the paperwork.
He reaches out and touches my face, his fingers skimming down my cheek, and everything inside of me goes completely liquid.
Thank you for coming to Paris with me. It made a difference.
My cheeks are on fire again. What is up with me being so easily embarrassed? Not that I'm embarrassed, really. More like, this is a moment. A shift in the atmosphere. A shift in our relationship.
I am pretty sure you're the only one who made a difference. I really didn't do anything.
You stood by my side, and that's enough. I'm not sure how I can repay you.
He dips his head, his mouth hovering just above mine, and I close my eyes, waiting in breathless anticipation for my repayment kiss when...
Yoo-hoo, little lovebirds!
Manon laughs, interrupting our moment. Damn it! I pull away from Alex and smile at her, but don't say a word. I mean, how do you respond to someone calling you a lovebird?
I'm not sure.
Plus, I've lost all ability to speak after that kiss we almost shared. I'd probably be a blubbering idiot if I tried to talk. So I remain quiet. It's safer that way.
You two are so cozy.
Manon smirks, and I wonder if the pink lacquer coating her lips ever fades. Or maybe I missed seeing her reapply a few coats. I don't know.
Such an adorable couple. I envy your passion.
Our passion. Her words would normally be a compliment, but somehow they feel like an insult. I'm not quite sure what she's trying to get at.
I'm lucky she's mine,
Alex says, with all the confidence of a man who's feeling mighty satisfied as he leans back in his chair, his arms still stretched across mine. He reaches up and rubs my shoulder, and I smile at him, hating how that now that he's leaning back, I can see Manon even better. And she can see me. I'd rather stay out of her sights, thank you very much.
Yes, you are so lucky to have this brown-haired beauty, Alex.
Tell me, what do you think of Paris so far?
Manon asks, her question directed at me as she props her elbow on the table so she can rest her chin on her fist. It's a beautiful city, though I haven't seen much. I answer politely.
Will you get a chance to tour around? Or do you have to go back to the States right away?
She sits up straight, resting both of her arms on the edge of the table. I glance over at Sabine, who's watching her with thinly veiled disgust written all over her expressive face. Is it the arms on the table that's bugging her? Does Sabine consider that rude? I'm so glad my hands are currently in my lap. I'm hoping to see more of it. I look over at Alex and he nods as if he's agreeing that we will definitely see more of it.
Perhaps we can get together before you head back to California. Just the two of us.
Manon smiles, and I swear she looks like the cat that just swallowed the canary. There is something to be said about cliches, that's for sure.
I'd love to take you shopping. Maybe we could also have lunch.
Oh, we already went shopping. I smile, laugh a little even, and Alex squeezes my shoulder reassuringly. I wonder if he can tell how uncomfortable I am. I don't want to go shopping with Manon. I probably couldn't keep up. I was so overwhelmed earlier at Chanel, though I never felt out of place. Alex took me to Chanel this afternoon.
I can see that.
Manon tips her head in my direction, her gaze zeroed in on my chest, specifically the new necklace I'm wearing.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Alex picked it out for me, and he surprised me with the matching ring. I reach up and play with the necklace with my right hand, showing off the ring as well, and the pointed look Manon sends me is almost impossible to decipher.
Absolutely stunning.
Her voice is cool, as if she's not impressed.
And the earrings?
I'm shocked she noticed. Yes, he surprised me with those as well. He completely spoiled me.
Indeed he did.
She sits up straighter.
Pardon. I assume you're meeting with Alex in the morning?
Alan nods.
I am. Louis will also be joining us.
The look on Louis's face tells me he's not thrilled with this idea.
There's no excuse then. We must get together.
Manon's gaze meets mine.
We'll meet in the morning, say around 10. I'll pick you up and we'll go shopping. I know the perfect spot where we can go. And afterward, we'll have lunch.
Sounds great, I say, my voice weak, glancing over at Alex. He offers me a sympathetic face, and I wonder if he would help me come up with a reason why I can't make it to our shopping date tomorrow. Probably not.
I've discovered that one of the bonuses of having a lot of money is you can hire a private car to be at your beck and call whenever you need it. You don't have to worry about getting a taxi or waiting for a ride. This is one of my favorite parts of the trip. Not only does the Wilder family have a private jet to use whenever needed, they also have no problem throwing money at private drivers who are always waiting for us when we exit the hotel, the restaurant, wherever we're at. I'm loving it. We're in the back of the sleek black Mercedes at this very moment, on our way to the hotel. The leather seats are as plush and soft as a cloud, and I close my eyes for a moment, enjoying the soothing rumble of the car's motor as we ride through the city streets. I'm so tired, I bet I could fall asleep. What's keeping me awake is the awareness simmering between Alex and me. It's been growing between us since the missed kiss from earlier, and it's only ramped up now that we're in the back seat of a car together. Alone. Did I mention he's holding my hand? Oh, he is. He grabbed it right after we climbed into the car, offering me a faint smile when I looked at him in confusion. He doesn't have to be holding my hand either, because there's no one around to see us. It's just him and me and the driver, who hasn't uttered a single word to us since we arrived, besides greeting us with bonjour and sending us off with an au revoir.
Are you worried about shopping with Manon tomorrow?
Alex asks. He lets go of my hand so he can check his phone, as per usual, but at least he's talking to me, so I won't give him any grief about it. He's beyond attached to his phone, which I figure is a symptom of being a workaholic. I remember Tiffany had a problem with it, and I was disgusted by his lack of caring at the appointment I had with the both of them. I'm guessing Alex needs a work detox here eventually. A little, I admit. I kind of feel like she's...
Judging you?
He finishes for me. Yes, exactly. We smile at each other, and I like that we're both on the same wavelength. She makes me vaguely uncomfortable. Understatement.
I can see why,
he says.
Manon Deschaux wants to be the center of attention. All eyes on her and no one else. I don't think she likes having competition.
What do you mean? Are you talking about me? I'm incredulous. He sends me a pointed look, but otherwise doesn't say anything. I scoff. Like, literally scoff. You're being ridiculous. I'm the farthest thing from competition for Manon. Now it's his turn to scoff.
Trust me, she views you as competition. You're younger than her. Sabine seems to like you, and I don't think she likes her daughter-in-law very much. You're also extraordinarily beautiful.
Alex, I'm blushing because that's what I do whenever someone pays me a compliment or focuses too much on me. My face is warm and I dip my head, not wanting him to see. You're exaggerating.
No. I'm really not. I think you're gorgeous, smart, capable. You held your own at dinner tonight, Caroline. You were impressive.
He says. You thought I'd be an epic fail? I tease, just to needle him.
Not at all. I just wasn't sure how Manon would treat you. I've heard she can be brutal to other women. She prefers to surround herself with men when she's seen in public, or she's a lone wolf.
Alex explains.
It's why she wants to be every designer's muse. They lavish a bunch of attention on her, and she eats it up.
How do you know so much about her? I'm curious.
I had to do my research on the family, right? I wanted to know everything I could about them, so I had my assistant do a little Googling, and she sent me an email full of links on each family member.
Wait, you mean Kelsey? I get a little excited just thinking about her. My new friend. When I get back from Paris, we all need to get together and include Kelsey this time. I like her a lot. Alex is frowning. I'm sure I confused him.
How do you know Kelsey?
I explain how I saw her at his office, and then that evening I found her at the bar in the restaurant, though I don't mention how she got stood up by some douche. How I invited her to join us for dinner, as she fit in so easily with my group of friends.
So now you're friends with my assistant?
He sounds amused, thank goodness. I mean, it's kind of weird that I want to hang out with my fake fiancé's assistant, but I'm sure stranger things have happened, right? I totally am. I have a feeling we'll end up being close friends, too. She's my kind of people. I hesitate before I ask. You don't have a problem with that, do you?
Of course not. You can be friends with whoever you want.
The easy way he says it tells me he's being truthful. I don't want any of this to become awkward. Though, if I'm being completely truthful with myself, this entire situation has tremendous potential to get awkward.
You'll be fine tomorrow with Manon,
Alex tells me after we both remain quiet for a few minutes.
If she asks you an uncomfortable question, deflect.
Deflect how? Give me an example. I need practice dealing with terrible people. Well, specifically Manon. I work in customer service, so I've seen my fair share of rude assholes. But there's something downright elitist about Manon's attitude, especially toward me, and that's intimidating.
Here, pretend I'm her, and I'm going to ask you a very personal question.
He explains. Oh, role-playing. I'm down. Okay, Manon, give it to me. He smiles, and I wiggle in my seat, adjusting myself so I'm fully facing him. The center console has bottled waters waiting for us, plus a bunch of candy, so I can't push it back into the seat. Clearing his throat, Alex asks.
So, tell me, Caroline.
His falsetto voice with a French accent is way too good, and I have to stifle my giggles.
I want to hear all about your sex life with Alex. Give me the dirty details.
Oh, come on! I slug his arm, marveling at the solid muscle my fist just made contact with. I need to see him with his shirt off, and soon. She won't want to hear about that.
She might.
He laughs.
I wouldn't put it past her.
You said that just to watch me scramble.
Kind of,
he admits teasingly, and I slug him again. He grabs my wrist, holding me captive, his thumb rubbing the inside of my wrist before he releases me.
Okay, let's do another one.
He clears his throat once more and brings back the fake accent.
I'm sure you're so excited about your upcoming nuptials. What are your wedding plans?
So easy. It will be outdoors since we're getting married in the fall, when our weather is at its absolute best. The ceremony will be on the grounds of Wilder Pebble Beach, overlooking the ocean, and the reception will be held in one of the ballrooms inside the hotel. I lean back in my seat, smirking like a smug bitch.
Nice,
he nods his approval.
And the honeymoon?
Hawaii, I say without hesitation. Alex loves to vacation there. It's one of his favorite places to visit.
Your answer isn't wrong,
he tells me almost grudgingly.
You should have also said I love seeing you in a bikini.
You've never seen me in a bikini, I chastise, and the sly smile on his face steals my breath.
But I'd like to.
Oh, God. He says things like that, looks at me in a certain way, and I want to melt. This is supposed to be a pretend relationship. So why is it feeling so real? Doesn't everyone love Hawaii? I ask weakly, desperate to change the subject. I've never been there, but I could love it. I'm sure I could.
True. You've been there? Which island is your favorite?
I've never been, I admit, and his face falls a little, like he realized that he's been everywhere and I haven't. He's lived his life and seen and done so many things for someone being so young, and honestly, I haven't done shit. But I want to. Hopefully, someday. Unable to resist and wishing I could change the subject yet again, I reach for the center console between us and grab one of the candies, the white wrapper covered with tiny red strawberries, my favorite flavor. I'm going to indulge since we didn't have dessert, I tell him as I unwrap the candy and pop it into my mouth. It's sweet and a little chewy, reminding me of a starburst, and I suck on the candy for a while, trying to make it last.
Hungry so soon after dinner?
Alex asks after checking his phone yet again. Yes, I am, a little bit, for some reason. French food isn't filling me up. It tastes amazing. We've only been here a short time, and I haven't had a bad meal. Yet for some reason, I'm always ready to snack on something else within an hour of eating. If a macaron store were open right now, I'd be demanding the driver to pull over so I can grab a few. Kind of. Just craving something sweet, I tell him, curling the wrapper into a ball before I drop it into the center console with the rest of the candy. I probably shouldn't leave it there, but it's not like there's a garbage can in the back of the car.
Something sweet. I am too.
Before I can say anything in response, Alex is touching my face, his fingers gentle, his mouth suddenly hovering above mine for a split second. Enough time for me to think, this is it. Another kiss from Alex Wilder. Will it be as good as the first time? My eyes close right as he makes contact. His mouth is soft and warm and damp. The kiss is achingly simple. Just a press of the lips on lips, a shared breath, a soft sigh that comes from me. His hand curves, so he's cradling the side of my head as he kisses me again. And again. Sweet, questioning kisses that are asking me so many things at once.
Are you okay with this? Do you want more? Do you want me?
And of course, I'm answering him with kisses. I'm definitely okay with this. I want as much as you'll give me. Is this all fake? The stupid center console is in the way, so I can't really get close to him, and I break away from the kiss in pure frustration, not willing to take it to the next level if I can't get closer to him. Plus, I don't need to lose my head over this, over him. Kissing him in the backseat of a car when no one is watching wasn't part of the plan. No matter how much I enjoy it, I need to be smart, practical. And that means no more kissing Alex until we're in front of other people. Speaking of Alex, he's smiling, looking very pleased with himself.
You taste like strawberries.
My cheeks are warm for the thousandth time. It was the candy.
I know. It's why I kissed you. Well, there are lots of reasons why I kissed you. That was just one of them.
He admits. I want him to give me a list of all the reasons why he wants to kiss me, and I want him to actually write those reasons down on a piece of paper so I can linger over the list. What does he want from this? What does he want from me? I'm not sure. Truthfully, I don't know what I want from him either. We're having fun. Our conversations are flowing easily. Do we have the potential for an actual real relationship? That's dangerous territory you're venturing into. Yeah, no potential. Nope.
I need to text my father about my conversation with Alain,
he says, his voice low as he opens his phone, his focus zeroed in on the screen. The light illuminates his face, and I stare at him for a moment, struck again by how incredibly handsome he is. And how I see those hints of the young Alex I used to know. It's in his kind eyes, the shape of his mouth, the slope of his nose. I like that face. A lot. Probably too much if I'm being real with myself. He glances up, his gaze meeting mine. He just caught me staring. But for once, I don't care. My cheeks aren't even warm.
I hope you don't mind that I'm on my phone.
Of course not. Did he think I'd be angry? Perhaps that's a good thing. Most of the time, I get the sense Alex puts his family and his job above all else, including his personal life. That might be why Tiffany cheated on him. Not that I'm justifying her behavior, but if her fiancé acted like he didn't care what she did, then she'd assume he wouldn't care if she was with another man. Confusing logic, but maybe? I shouldn't even bother trying to figure their situation out. I can barely figure ours out. We remain quiet for the rest of the drive to the hotel, though the silence isn't a problem. He's texting his father the good news, and I understand why that's so important to him. I'm okay with him not paying attention to me. I'm not a total diva like some people I know. The issue with the continuous silence, though, is that my mind is going 100 miles a minute. Yes, it was nice to have time to think, but now I'm scared I'm allowing myself to think too much, and that's dangerous. My biggest problem with Alex is what he brings with him. Lots of baggage. The ex-fiancé Tiffany situation is a terrible one, and I can't avoid it no matter how much I'd like to. Here in Paris, what we're doing is like dream fantasy land, merely playing at being in a relationship. But the minute we get home, reality is going to smack us both in the face, and we'll realize that maybe we're not meant for each other after all. He's busy, so am I. He has a very recent ex he planned on marrying. I do not. There are no real threats from my side. Most of the time I prefer hanging out with my friends, and Alex likes hanging out in the office. We come from two different worlds. As in, he's rich and established, and I'm not. He has an ex, the ex, the woman he wanted to make his wife. Tiffany is a major obstacle I'm having a hard time getting over. I can admit that to myself. But can I admit it to Alex? Our driver drops us off at the front of the hotel a few minutes later, and Alex escorts me inside, holding my hand with all the assuredness of a real-life boyfriend. I follow beside him quietly, drinking it all in like I do every time I walk through the hotel lobby. This place is truly unbelievable. This entire trip has been unbelievable, and it's only just begun. The moment we're in the tiny elevator, Alex pulls me into his arms, our bodies flush against each other. I rest my hands on his wide chest, tilt my head back to look into his eyes. His gaze is so intense. I want to squirm, but I don't. I still have some semblance of control.
"You have pretty eyes," he says, "and full lips."
He gently touches the corner of my mouth with his thumb. "Thank you," I whisper.
"And your hair. It's so dark and shiny."
He slips his fingers into the strands, playing with it for a moment.
"It feels like silk."
I frown. What is he doing? I'm confused by his personal assessment.
"I shouldn't do this,"
he admits as he traces my jawline with his index finger. "Do what?" I ask, completely baffled.
"This."
He kisses me, silencing whatever else I was about to say, and I honestly can't remember because the moment his mouth touches mine, all rational thought leaves my head. He deepens the kiss with ease because I let him. I'm so eager for this, despite my earlier mental protest. His tongue touches mine before it goes on a slow sweep of my mouth, and I wrap my arms around his neck, my fingers sliding into the hair at his nape. His hand slips down so that it briefly rests on my butt, and when the elevator doors slide open seconds later with a soft ding, my eyes pop open, afraid someone will be watching us making out with horrified expressions on their faces. Luckily enough, there's no one around. Alex releases his hold on me and exits the elevator without a word, and all I can do is follow after him. His long stride makes it hard for me to keep up, and by the time he's at our suite door, I'm still a ways behind. He waits for me, a faint smile curving his lips, but he seems tense, like he's amped up and needs to expend his pent-up energy. It appears he wants to expend that energy all over me.
Alex. I've been a walking stress case since we arrived in Paris. Hell, the last few weeks leading up to the surprise trip, I've been stressed the fuck out. First, over wedding plans. Next, over an engagement breakup. Then the Deschaux deal threatens to fall apart, and my father was all over my ass about me going to Paris to try and save it. It seemed like nothing was going my way. Now finally, I feel like I'm back in control of my life. I have this hotel deal pretty much on lockdown. Dinner tonight went well. Alain and I had such a positive conversation that he told me he's ready to sign the deal after all. Caroline enchanted Sabine with her natural charm, and despite the snobbery from Louis and Manon, all is right once again in my world, including the fact that I reclaimed the girl who got away. She's walking toward me, an unsure expression on her pretty face. Her cheeks are flushed, that happens a lot, and her lush lips are parted. She looks amazing in that clingy black dress and the high, high heels. She's a beautiful, sexy woman who tempts me the more I look at her. At dinner, that unmistakable tension was there, brewing between us. We almost kissed at the table before Manon rudely interrupted us, though it wasn't quite proper of us to kiss at the table, so maybe that was a good thing. It's why I finally had to kiss Caroline in the car. I needed to see if that tension was for real, or if I was the only one feeling it. I was definitely not the only one feeling it. She responded so sweetly, though the kiss ended far too soon for my tastes, only because the stupid center console was in the way. To cool off, I focused on texting my father to let him know I had the deal handled. It was that or maul Caroline in the back seat of the car in front of the driver, and I couldn't do that. What we're doing is fake. I can't let real feelings slip into this. Real feelings will screw everything up. Alex, I blinked Caroline into focus, only to realize she's standing directly in front of me, her hand resting on my chest. Yeah, her expression is serious. I really like you. A lot. I like you too, I tell her. She looks so calm. So why does it feel like there's a but coming next? But, there it is. I'm thinking we should take it slow. She wrinkles her nose as she pats my chest, then enters the suite. After that kiss we shared in the elevator, I thought you should know that. She calls over her shoulder. Frowning, I follow her inside, the door slamming closed behind me. I watch as she turns on a lamp and then kicks off her shoes, flopping onto the couch with a relieved sigh. My shoes were killing me. She lifts both her legs into the air, flexing her toes, and I look away in frustration. Her legs are one of my favorite parts about her. Considering she's now declared it a look-but-don't-touch scenario tonight, I need to get away from her, fast. Shrugging out of my suit jacket, I head for the bedroom, tossing the jacket onto a nearby chair before I tug at my tie, loosening it until I can yank it off completely. I unbutton my shirt and take it off, adding it to the growing pile on the chair. I keep going, stripping down to my black boxer briefs right at the moment Caroline enters the bedroom. Oh, God. She places her hand over her eyes, shaking her head. I wish I would have never seen that. Seen what? I glance down at myself with a frown. Do I really look that awful? This woman is going to give me a goddamn complex if she keeps this up. You. She waves a hand in my general direction, her other hand still covering her eyes. Half naked, right after I told you we need to take it slow. I kick my crumpled pants out of the way and walk toward her, stopping directly in front of her. Caroline, look at me. She shakes her head. I can't. Caroline, I don't want to. Which is it? You can't or you don't want to? She sighs with frustration and drops her hand, her gaze pinned on my chest, then slowly moving downward. Oh, God. She closes her eyes so tight, little wrinkles fan from the corners. You need to put some clothes on. Why? I cup her chin, lifting her face up as she slowly opens her eyes. Our gaze is locking. Do I disgust you that much?
No.
A whimper escapes her when I take another step closer, our bodies brushing against each other's.
It's hard to resist you when you're not wearing any clothes.
I'm wearing clothes, I remind her.
Underwear doesn't count.
She sighs, and I release my hold on her chin.
I'm still holding firm to my taking it slow clause for tonight.
I wouldn't expect anything less. Her eyes widen the slightest bit. I guess I shocked her.
Then why are you parading around with no clothes on?
I'm not parading around. I was taking off my clothes when you happened to walk into the room. I send her a pointed look. You act like a woman who's never seen a man in his boxer briefs before.
I've seen plenty of men in their boxer briefs before.
She grimaces.
That came out wrong.
A chuckle escapes me. I know what you mean. I step away from her and head for the closet, where I pull a pair of lounge pants out of the drawer and hurriedly put them on before walking back into the bedroom. I'm dressed, I say, spreading my arms out wide.
You don't have a shirt on.
She waves a hand at me again, keeping her head averted.
You really should put one on.
This is what I wore to bed last night, I tell her, not mentioning that I shucked the pants halfway through the night because I was too hot. And we shared that bed, remember?
Like I could forget.
She turns so she's facing me fully.
This entire situation is weird, Alex.
I know. I rub my thumb along my jaw, contemplating what she said, remembering everything that happened tonight. The more time I spend with her, the more I like her, the more I want to be with her. And not just in a fake way either. Will she think less of me because I broke off my engagement only a couple of weeks ago? Supposedly I was in love with Tiffany. I could admit to myself that I wasn't. Does that make me some sort of asshole who doesn't understand what true love is? Will Caroline think less of me? I can't blame her if she does.
Maybe we shouldn't have kissed, she says,
her voice tinged with sadness.
Kissing changes everything.
It doesn't have to, I suggest, trying my best to keep my tone light. She's frowning.
What do you mean?
We kiss, I shrug. Hold hands, hug. Throw out a no-big-deal hand gesture. Maybe, eventually, have sex. What happens in Paris stays in Paris. What do you think? Caroline is full-blown gaping at me. I think I just rocked her world, and not necessarily in a good way.
I think I need to sleep on it.
And with that, she flees the room, running into the bathroom and locking the door behind her. I run a hand through my hair, frustration making me tense. This could be a long night.
Caroline. I tossed and turned all night, sleeping in short bursts, feeling like I got no sleep yet dreaming about the strangest things. The weirdest one involved Alex and me, naked in bed in our suite, with Louis and Manon sitting on the sidelines, watching us as we have sex and holding up scorecards when we finished. Yeah, I don't need to see a shrink to know what that dream means. At one point, I woke up to find Alex lying close to me. Only maybe the suspicions were all one-sided because he was asleep. I could tell from his breathing. At first I recoiled from him, not wanting us to touch, but then ever so slowly, I gave in and scooted closer, closer, until I was smashed up right next to him. He murmured a few words of nonsense I couldn't quite make out, slipping his arm around me and pulling me toward him. I went willingly, snuggling close, enjoying the feeling of being wrapped up in his arms in bed. No one else around, no one judging us. Literally and in my dream. His skin was warm and smooth, his muscles hard. The hairs on his chest tickled my cheek, but I didn't mind. It was nice. And when I say nice, I don't mean the awkward nice or the polite nice. I mean the actual pleasant, wow, I could get used to this type of nice. Yes, that nice. Kind of scary, am I right? I took a shower last night, which means I can sleep in somewhat. But part of the reason I can't sleep is because I'm going shopping with Manon in, let me check my phone, less than 2 hours? Shit. Climbing out of bed, I make my way to the bathroom and pee, wash my hands, brush my teeth, smooth my hair out with my fingers. My hair is so bone straight. I wish it held curl better. Notice that tiny zit forming right at the beginning of my left eyebrow. I lean in close to the mirror and pop it, grabbing a tissue so I can dab at it. Then I have to wash my hands again because, ew. When I finally emerge from the bathroom, I see Alex is still in bed, but he's awake, scrolling on his phone, sitting up with the covers bunched around his hips, showing off that spectacular chest he has. I come to a stop by the foot of the bed so I can glare at him. It's really unfair, you know. His eyebrows shoot up.
What's unfair?
How good you look when you first wake up. I should probably lighten up, considering I've been griping at him since last night. I about tripped over my own jaw. My mouth flew open when I saw him standing in the bedroom in just his underwear. He looked like he walked straight out of one of those sexy underwear ads. You know the ones I'm talking about? All muscly and broad, but not too muscly and broad.
Thanks.
He seems perfectly unfazed by my nagging at him, which makes me sag a little in relief.
You look good first thing in the morning, too.
Oh. I stand up a little straighter, my mood lifted by his compliment. Thank you.
Did you sleep well?
He sets his phone on the bedside table and concentrates fully on me. Not really, I admit, sinking my teeth into my lower lip. I tossed and turned a lot.
I think at one point we, cuddled.
He runs a hand through his hair, looking vaguely uncomfortable.
I didn't mean to do it, I swear.
I know. I round the bed and sit on the edge of the mattress on my side, reaching out to touch my embroidered initials on the pillowcase. I'm the one who snuggled up to you.
Really?
He sounds surprised. Nodding, I say, I hope you didn't mind.
I definitely didn't mind.